Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on your Sunday. Another beautiful day, another beautiful weekend. Tulip time has been here, done that, and now gone. If you hadn't got a chance to go up there and check out the tulips, obviously, I think a week ago, they were really at their prime, but they still did a good job of getting all that stuff going on for the folks to see, and just a good time. I love that part about Iowa, whereas we get to go out and just see the festivities and all the things that go on. What an exciting time of the year to live in our great state of Iowa. But maybe today you're traveling down the highway, you've turned it on to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. Just want to thank you for being part of our Vital Ministries radio show this morning. Just as you travel, just be safe as you're going out about your way. Maybe you're on your way to Pella to check out the tulips, and just be safe in your travels. Those of you who are headed on your way to church this morning, again, be safe as you travel. What an opportunity to worship and to hear the word of the Lord as you go to church this Sunday morning, and may the Lord bless you as you travel. Also, too, many of you say, Mike, Sunday morning is my time with you. I sit there along, I'm in my shop, or I'm inside my house, or whatever you're doing. Just want to thank you for being loyal to Vital Ministries and to the ministry itself. What a privilege and an honor. Whenever I have people come up and share with me and say, Mike, I really appreciate what you're saying and on the radio and some of those things, I want to tell you I'm humbled and I'm also too honored at the same time. And just thank you too for those very complimentary words, because a lot of times when you're on the radio, obviously, we do not see an audience. We can only assume of what we're hearing and trust the Lord in that. So I just want to thank you for that. Also, too, just upcoming events that we have in Vital Ministries. June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd is our Vital Men motorcycle trip coming up. This is a men's ride only. We're headed towards Illinois. And just would encourage you, if you want to be a part of that, don't hesitate to reach out to me. My phone number is 641-660-7715. Or you can get onto our Vital Ministry page and check that out as well and see if you would like to be traveling with us on that trip. We would love to have you. It's a great time as men. We get out, we get a word from the Lord before we start a midst of our day, and then we get to go out and ride in the midst of God's creation. What a great time it has been. I can just, the numerous men I have met along the way on our motorcycle trip, it's just been really cool, and just get to know those men. And when you spend 3 days with a guy, you really get an opportunity to know him in a deeper level, and also too in friendship. But I just again want to thank you. And if you're encouraged about it, you'd like to be a part of our motorcycle trip, don't hesitate to give us a call or go to our vitalministries.org webpage and check it out. Also, too, like any ministry, it takes funds to make it. And if you're so inclined to give a donation to Vital Ministries, we would love that. You can go to our Vital Ministries website, or you can go and find out where our location is and get it sent directly a check. All of the money and the proceeds that go to Vital Ministries, because we are a 501 as well, is a tax deduction if you so desire to do that. So again, if that is part of you're being spoken to about that, would love for you to help us out with that. But with that being said, let's jump into the teaching series. And we're going to look at, we've been on this teaching series the last 3 weeks. We've been doing a teaching in the midst of our services called Who is Holy Spirit? It seems to be the right series right after Easter, doesn't it? My mind sometimes thinks of how it might have been to be one of Christ's disciples. We read the struggles in the first four books of the New Testament of Jesus' interaction with his men. They were just ordinary men who saw something in Jesus and left everything to follow him. Jesus said, "Will you follow me?" With the exclusion of Judas, all 11 men were asked to be followed by Jesus himself. But after the resurrection of Jesus, he spends an additional 40 days in and out with his men, confirming that he, in fact, rose from the grave. Then he tells his disciples to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come. In the wait, 110 devoted men and women, including Jesus' earthly brothers, wait for the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon them and fill them. Then Peter obviously goes out and does his greatest preaching he has ever done in his life, and has over 3,000 converts, people who came to know Christ, being saved that day. What an amazing day that must have been like. It'd be like greater than any Billy Graham crusade that I could begin to think of. But that same saving grace and the power of the Holy Spirit still exists today. This past week, we looked at the six different gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, and there were actually 58 different gifts mentioned that the Holy Spirit brings to a believer. I did part of those gifts this past Sunday on the radio station, and we looked at those gifts. That was a part one, but part two, which will be coming soon, we'll be talking about the gifts of speaking in tongues, a very misunderstood portion of the Bible. Most pastors, I find interesting, won't talk about it because of their fear of the controversy of the very subject itself. And I think it's more so because they don't understand, and it's more so that it's unknown. There should actually not only, it only should be, but it's truthful, but there's facts that tongues, in fact, do exist, and it's relevant today. But it also has to have order, not just disorder or disarray. We'll be dealing with that and looking at it in greater detail in the coming weeks. So you're not going to want to miss that teaching series about how does the Holy Spirit work through the speaking of tongues. But today, I would like to talk to you about, can you lose or grieve the Holy Spirit? Let's get a setting on the lay of the land before we jump in. It's very important to note that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God, which means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells or comes into a believer's heart when they accept Jesus, and with when they accept Jesus to come into their heart, forgiveness of sins, they have now, salvation has come to this person. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16, it says this, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? Our bodies, when we are saved, become God's temple. Once the Holy Spirit indwells within a believer, it is permanent. You can't lose the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. When the Holy Spirit indwells within a believer, it's permanent. You can't lose the Holy Spirit. Now, this is much different as we have seen in the Old Testament, and we've talked about this, but I think it bears repeating just a few things this morning. The Holy Spirit came upon men, like we saw King Saul in 1 Samuel 16:14, or Samson in Judges 16:20. The Holy Spirit worked differently after Jesus rose from the dead. In the Old Testament, the Spirit only came upon someone and never indwelled in them. The Holy Spirit came for specific purposes and seasons of a time. The Holy Spirit would come upon prophets to proclaim truth, like Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 1 through 2, it says this, then the Spirit lifted me and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's temple, where I saw 25 prominent men of the city. Among them were Jazaniah, son of Azar, and Pelusha, son of Benaiah, who were leaders among the people. The Spirit said to me, son of man, these are men planning evil and doing wicked things and giving wicked counsel to the city. The prophets instructed the leaders back in the day of the direction of what truth was, and also to bad decision-making that would come upon, and they would share that with them. But like we just discussed before, Christ finished work, then the Spirit came and he went. But Jesus promised his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit who lives with you and will be in you, as we have read in John 14:17. In Acts 2, we see the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They gathered together in the upper room, and as they prayed in one accord, the Holy Spirit came and indwelled upon them. They spoke in tongues, and many people of the city of Jerusalem came to know Jesus Christ, because when they spoke in tongues of the native language that the people were there and they heard. Now, that's interesting. That's a whole discussion with itself, but there's purpose in the speaking of tongues. It was not gibberish or babble. It was specific, so the people, the nations were there, could understand and hear the gospel message. Now, let's look at, can I lose the Holy Spirit, or for some they call internal security? Can I lose my salvation? There has been great debate over this very issue. But let's go in the Bible and let's get the answers from what the Bible says. Not what a person, not what Mike or anybody else might say, but what does the Bible say? Ephesians 1:13 says it this way, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth. the good news that God saves you, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. There's another portion of scripture in that same book, in Ephesians chapter 4, 30, that says this, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you in his own quantity that you will be saved on the day of redemption." If the Holy Spirit were to vacate the heart of a believer, he that he had promised to seal would make Holy Spirit unfaithful. I'm going to say that again. If the Holy Spirit were to vacate the heart of a believer that he had promised and put a seal on them, would make him unfaithful. And we know that not to be true. One of the Holy Spirit's tasks after coming into a person's heart is to allow transformation of that person to be more like Christ. Like it says in Philippians 1 verse 6, He who began a good work in you will carry it out into completion. The Holy Spirit will not undo his work and undo the regeneration that he creates and does in the midst of our lives. And that's very, very important for us to realize that. It's sealed. It's a promise. He will not vacate. Now, since we do not find the Holy Spirit, it is doubtful we can lose the Holy Spirit. It would take a willful renouncement to the Holy Spirit for him to leave. And in saying so, this is my issue with that. I struggle with the idea of whether or not that person was truly saved. Again, only God knows the heart of any man. Many people profess to have the Holy Spirit, but eventually prove it wasn't real and return to their sinful life. Such people did not lose the Holy Spirit, as was never theirs at all. 1 John 2:19. I hope this, in a way, folks, alleviates some of the confusion and losing of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. What is important is after we are saved from our sins by asking Jesus to forgive us and the Holy Spirit indwells us in the very moment, our lives should be one of transformation, living a changed life that glorifies the Lord. We shouldn't merely act like saints on Sunday and become ruthless and sinners on the rest of the 6 days of the week. We should look and act differently. Now that's the part that I think is where the rubber really hits the road of the struggle, because a lot of people with the internal security thinks, well, since I am saved and my salvation is secure, that I no longer have to act differently from the world. You've got to read your Bible. That is not a true statement. That means that you're only in it to get to, so I can get a ticket to heaven, and that is not how the Holy Spirit works. He will not be manipulated to do what the will of what we want, but only will do the will of what the Father tells him to do. And that's essential for us, that we act differently. We have a different lifestyle. We speak differently. We are different around other people. But let's keep going. Let's look at another topic. Can I quench the Holy Spirit in my life? The word quench in the Bible means speaking or a suppressing fire. When a true believer puts on the shield of faith as part of their armor, as it speaks of in Ephesians 6:16, we have the ability to extinguish the power of the fiery arrows that the enemy tries to shoot at us. And that's how it was spoke upon it. And here's another thing that's important: is Jesus spoke and described hell as a place where fire would not be quenched in Mark 9:44. In comparison, the Holy Spirit is fire indwelling in every believer. The Holy Spirit wants to express himself in our actions and our attitudes. When a believer does not allow the Holy Spirit to be shown in two areas of their lives, will suppress or quench the Spirit. That's important for us to realize that there's two areas of our lives that we can actually quench or push back on the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says this, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit when we don't allow him to work in the way that he wants." Many of us have heard the terminology of the word backslidden. A backslidden person is quenching the Holy Spirit in their lives. They've taken the gift off first place in their lives, and now they are acting on their own. They are still a Christian, but the Holy Spirit still indwells in them, but they can't work through the Holy Spirit because they are not walking with the Holy Spirit. And I think that's important to realize. So when you do backslide, that's a different issue. That's important for us to realize. There are two times in my own life in which I fell back or backslidden. I got lazy in my faith. I quit praying. I quit reading the Bible and allowed Mike to reign and not Jesus. I made life all about me and the people around me. To be honest, I made them miserable because of the way I was acting. A backslidden Christian isn't fun to hang around with. We've been around those kind of people. They are not good to hang with. It takes hard work and great faith to follow Christ. It isn't for the faint of heart. When a person walks in their own flesh, they quench the Holy Spirit and His power can't work through them. This is why I'm learning about my faith. I trust less about how much I feel about whether I'm a Christian and trust more about what I know about being a Christian. I catch myself falling back, but I get on my knees and ask Jesus, forgive me of my sin, and ask Him, the Holy Spirit, to use me. I get back up, didn't lose my faith. I didn't walk away from being part of Christ's kingdom. Yes, I did trip up, but I kept moving. Hopefully, folks, hopefully this makes sense. But I want to share something about that this morning as we look at it. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 32, about what it means to quench the Holy Spirit. It says this, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness, and they wander from the life God gives them because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Isn't that so true when you're around somebody who's not a believer? They go about their own ways, and man, their hearts are so closed that there is actually no sense of shame in the midst of the sin that they're living in. But let's continue in verse 20. But that isn't what you've learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit do what? Renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Again, that's a changed, transformed Christian who's walking into their faith. Not one who's backslidden, not one who's just trying to get enough Christianity to get by, but one who truly seeks out transformation. And that is the key in the midst of living a holy life and living as children of light. That's what God calls us to do. When we do that, then we don't have to fear whether or not we're quenching or making it so the Holy Spirit cannot work through our lives because of sin. But let's keep going. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all parts of the same body, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Isn't that so true, folks? When we allow anger to be a part of our life and to control us, the anger goes deep and it goes into our hearts and it allows a foothold for the enemy to come in, and we have now become blinded by our own deception and by our own anger and not allowing a forgiving heart. I tell you what, folks, all of us deal with that, don't we? There's times in my own life I've held on to things and not allowed forgiveness to come into my heart. But let's keep going. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Now, I think that's important for us because I think that sets us apart in our Christian faith. Oftentimes, we can continue to using foul language or using cursing. But the Bible tells us here right now, don't use foul or abusive language. We should be talking differently. Let everything that you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. We should look different, folks, from the world. We should not look like the world or act like the world. We should be different. When you have the Holy Spirit in your life and you struggle with foul language or you struggle with using cursing words, ask Holy Spirit to take that away from your heart. Get into God's Word. Read in it. Ask the Holy Spirit to use you in such a way that you can get rid of that foul language. But here, let's keep going. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Again, we get back to that. Our redemption is sealed. Once we ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of our life, we don't have to sit around walking around taking pulse all the time of whether or not and knowing whether or not we're a Christian. We know by faith and we trust that. It isn't about feelings, folks. It's about knowing. That's what faith is. And that's when we have strong faith, that brings that God loves that about us when we have strong faith and when we trust Him. It says this, starting with verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness. We talked about that. Bitterness in our life. Bitterness toward people. Bitterness about the situation. I tell you what, talk about bitter people that we've had, especially in the midst of the political agenda. Folks, I don't know about you, but I've turned things off. I have gotten away from it because exactly I was getting bitter and I was getting angry. And anybody who wasn't a certain party of my affiliation, I was angry toward and had a hard heart and I was bitter. That is not what God is asking us to do. Doesn't mean that I'm not convicted and want to do what's right. That is not what I'm saying, but it does no good to carry bitterness to someone who doesn't believe or think how you do. Here's another one. Anger. We talked about that. Harsh words. Man, I don't know about you, but harsh words, they can cut a person right in half by the way we treat them, and sometimes to the very person that we're closest with, which I mean is our spouse. How often do we speak a harsh word to our spouse as opposed to we would never conceive or do that to another person? But when we allow the Holy Spirit in our lives, that should be taken away. That should become less and less. But let's keep going. And slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Evil behavior should not be a part of a person's life. We, again, folks, if we're truly asking Jesus Christ to be our Savior and allow the Holy Spirit to transform us and the regeneration power to be working in our lives, folks, we should look different than the rest of the world. And that's what troubles me that I'm concerned about is that we don't. It's hard to discern about a person who is a person of faith any more than it is a person who lives in another world. We should look different. We should act different. We should speak different. We should walk different in how we do. But it says this, instead be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Now that's essential for us. That talks about the things that we need to change. And by the power of the Holy Spirit of what I just read out of the Bible this morning, folks, the Word of God is the one that brings to us, sears our heart, helps us to see the truth. I hope this morning about what we just read out of Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 32, that it convicts, that it brings truth, that it brings something of understanding of our hearts so that we allow Holy Spirit to work. So we no longer have to worry about, are we grieving the Holy Spirit? Are we quenching the Holy Spirit? Because when you're living a holy lifestyle and you're trusting God to work through your life, you don't have to worry about that because the Holy Spirit is dominant. He's working. He's in full force and He's given you power greater than you could know. You are a walking and a living testimony of Jesus Christ, and that's what God calls us to do. But I'm going to read another portion again out of Ephesians chapter 5, and it says this, verses 1 and 2. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God Himself. There you go. There is the example of what we're supposed to be doing. Are we imitators of God? Or, to be honest, are we imitators of the world? Or even more so, imitators of the devil himself? And folks, if we are really going to bring a revival, being transformation in the midst of our nation that so badly needs it, we have got to look different. We have got to have the love of God. That does not mean that we what sin is. Doesn't mean that we come alongside, it's okay that you are sinning. No. What we should be doing, folks, is this, is because we're having right relationship with people and we sit down and listen, and when we have an open door is when we have the opportunity to say, you know what, you need to possibly look at possibly having a lifestyle change in your life. And we get those opportunities because of all the things our nation, our world needs Jesus as much as it ever has, and it always has been. But folks, you are the nearest thing that people may see out of the Bible or be like Christ is by your example of your behavior and your attitudes. What are they? Are they being worked and completed by the Holy Spirit? Or are you working out of your own flesh? That's a hard thing to look at, isn't it, folks? It's not easy. And I even this morning, as I share that with you, I'm checked by it myself. Is my attitudes correct? Is my behavior in such a way that it glorifies God? Does it all the time, folks? No. I fall. I make mistakes. I sometimes work out of my own flesh. And when I do that, I ask forgiveness to Jesus. I ask Holy Spirit to continue His transformation power in me. And I get up and I keep moving. I don't lay in the disaster of which I created. And that's the key, folks. If we're not going to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit, we've got to live a holy life and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. I love this portion of the series, folks. We're going to continue this Holy Spirit series because I think there's something even more so that God is really wanting us to do. We're going to look at part two about speaking in tongues and the other gifts. And then ultimately, our last teaching on the Holy Spirit is how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we know that comes upon us when we ask Jesus to be our Savior, but how can we go deeper? How can He fill us deeper? Does your heart yearn for that? I hope it does. Let me pray with you this morning. And again, Jesus, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity about how we can talk about if we are grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit, the things that we actually do. I pray this morning, maybe there's somebody that's listening to me that feels like maybe they have quenched Holy Spirit. Maybe they have grieved Him and they feel separation. They don't hear His voice. They don't feel the behavior of what the Holy Spirit is speaking to them because sin has put a barrier between them and the Holy Spirit. I pray that we just cry out, please forgive us. Help us to get back on track. Holy Spirit, fill us. Make us go deeper. Help us to be more and live a holy life like you, Jesus. You showed the example. And you took our sins and buried them on a cross. And you were risen 3 days from the later, and now you sit at the right hand of the Father. We want to praise you and we want to thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, folks, we are excited about this Holy Spirit teaching. We're going to have 2 more weeks on it, so you don't want to miss out. As things progress, this is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.